Never? Oh. Have you ever done something, I mean, as you're doing it, you're going, this is not a good idea. As you're doing it, you're going, I can't believe I'm being this stupid. Have you ever done anything that while you were doing it, deep down, you knew it was exactly the wrong thing to do? Well, if you have, then perhaps you can relate to this story. It's a story that comes from a home safety lesson. It's a story about a fellow who had a main drain pipe blocked. And so he decided that he was going to fix this himself and save all those expensive plumbing costs. First thing he does is he goes down to the local hardware store and he talks them into selling him the strongest commercial drain unplugger that they can sell, the strongest liquid they will sell him. He arrives home and he decides the best way to get this to the main pipe going between the first and second floor of his house is that if he gets a ladder and climbs up on his roof and pours it down through the vent pipe. So that's exactly what he does. He gets a ladder, he walks up on his roof, he walks across his wood shake shingles to the vent pipe, takes off the lid of this very, very strong commercial liquid drain cleaner, and he dumps it into the pipe. Just about that time, this cloud of angry wasps comes out of the vent pipe, having been awoken by this very strong chemical, and start for him. Well, he dashes across the roof to safety and watches the chemical take its toll on the wasps. Just about that time, he also begins to notice some smoke, like cloudy stuff, coming off his roof. And he realizes that in his dash to get away, he has spilled the liquid chemical drain cleaner. And it is beginning to eat away at his roof. Well, he knows just what he needs to do. He's going to go back down the ladder, grab a hose, get back up on the roof, and wash this stuff off before it can do any damage. So he goes down, gets the hose back up on the roof, standing on the peak of the roof, hosing down his wood shake shingles, thinking triumphantly, I've unclogged the drain, and I've saved all the plumber's cost, and you know, we just really haven't had that big a problem with it. Just about that time, if you know anything about wood shingles as they age, they get very, very, very slick when wet. He begins to realize that he's sliding towards the edge of his roof, and that he is going to have a very uncomfortable landing about two stories down. And it is, as he's laying in his yard, looking up at where he's been, he says, I wish I hadn't done that. To make matters worse, just about that time, his wife opens the upstairs window and shouts out, Honey, you must have gotten the wrong vent pipe. Because this tub is still backing up. I wish I hadn't done that. There have been many times where that has been the phrase in my life. I remember one of those times, I was probably 15. I was playing with my father's golf cart, which I probably shouldn't have been on anyway. I was just going to take it for a spin somewhere around the property. There was a bunch of person's cars in the driveway around the golf cart working on my dad's house. They were his friends. You see, the golf cart didn't have a very good indicator of whether it was in reverse or forward. It was just this little switch under your feet. And it was really easy when you jumped in the cart to accidentally kick it to the other side. Did I check where it was? When I stomped on the gas facing forward to take off down the driveway. I wish I hadn't done that. The cart went flying into reverse. Before I could figure out what happened and steer out of the way, it skimmed right down the side of one of those cars, leaving a great big gash right down the middle this long. and a little bit of an indent to go with it. I was scared to death. I was sitting there going, I wish I hadn't done that. I was praying for time to move backwards, for anything to happen. How could this be? What was I going to do? Could I run and hide? Could I just move the cart and pretend I hadn't done it? No. As much as I wished I hadn't done that, as much as I was upset about the stupidness of what I had done, the gash on the car, there was something worse to come. I was going to have to face the owner of that car. And I was going to have to tell him what I'd done. And he was going to be disappointed in me. Worse than that, I was going to have to face my father, whom I loved dearly and liked to think very well of me. And I was going to have to tell him what I'd done. As many times as I've said, I wished I hadn't done that. The hardest ones are the ones that affect relationships. The ones that happen to those people I love so much. Have you ever done that? Have you ever promised to be somewhere only to schedule something else over top of it? And miss that opportunity to be there and support your family? Have you ever at that time said, man, I wish I hadn't done that? How about a confidence you were told that you swore to keep? A few days later, you find yourself in the middle of a conversation and it's spilling out of your mouth before you can get your teeth clamped down on your tongue. I wish I hadn't done that. How many times have we failed to show love to those we've loved? Done exactly the opposite of what we said we would do. We're sure to say the most unkind word in the most inappropriate moment. How many times I realize just a wrong word, the lack of action or the wrong action, can have such painful repercussions on relationships. The damage is done. Oh, I wished I hadn't done it. But I wonder, will the relationship ever be the same again? Now, maybe about now you're wondering, what in the world, talking about guilt and talking about regret, have to do with Easter? I mean, it's Easter. We're supposed to be celebrating the resurrection. Furthermore, what in the world does this have to do with the scripture we read? Well, you see, part of the message of Easter is about regret, about what to do with guilt and regret. Think about those disciples, all that they had been through with Jesus. Think about the anxiety that they must have been troubled with. It was only a few short days ago at the Last Supper with Jesus. A few short days before that, at the triumphal entry into Jerusalem with Jesus. A few short days before that, traveling around the countryside, listening to him teach and preach. They had been so proud of who they thought Jesus was. They had been so proud to be his followers. They had sworn to stick with him through thick and thin. Peter had been the most obvious with that, saying, I will even die for you. And while Peter's failure is well documented, denying Christ, denying even knowing him three times during the horrible trial, watching from a distance during the horrible crucifixion, all of the disciples at one point or another had failed Christ. They had failed him. They had failed Jesus. They had disappointed him. They had done the wrong thing. Can you imagine the grief they must have felt? Having trusted so much in this man, and now all of that was gone. He was dead. the anxiety, the anger, the fear, the guilt, the wondering. Would they ever be able to put their lives back together? After all of this, could they return to a normal life? Could they even survive this if the Jews found them? Maybe you're still protesting, but this is Easter. Remember, he's raised from the dead. He's no longer dead. He's risen. Wouldn't that be good news to them? Would it? I'm sure. But good news without reservation? After all they'd done? After their abandonment? After their wrong words and wrong actions and failures? To find out that he was alive. They'd abandon him, and he was alive. They'd given up hope, and he was alive. You wonder what they felt about what their first meeting with him was going to be like. Were they full of trepidation? Were they full of fear? Did they wonder if it would ever be the same with him again? Would he forgive them? Would he love them? Would he even bother to show his face to them? Maybe he'd go find other disciples, more worthy ones, more capable ones, ones with a little more courage. But what does the scripture say about the first meeting? They've locked themselves behind closed doors. Interesting, isn't it? They aren't out looking for him. They've locked themselves behind closed doors. Was it only the Jewish authorities they feared? Did they not hear Mary's message? My brothers, after all they've done, Jesus is saying, my brothers? But in that first meeting, when Jesus appears in their midst, the first thing he says to them is, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Not the kind of peace that comes from an absence of war or an absence of conflict, but that deep internal peace that says, everything's okay. Our relationship is just fine. Peace. On that first Easter morning, the first thing Jesus does with them is let them know they are forgiven. The relationship is still fine. It's all going to be okay. But what about us? Now, y'all snickered when I said, have you ever done anything? And said, boy, I wish I hadn't done that. How do you stand with the Lord? Are you a little bit like the disciples? Are you a little bit like me? Oh, there's a list. Let me tell you, there's a list of things I wish I hadn't done. And if I could hide them from only one person, I would hide them from God. And yet God knows. I've done the wrong thing. I've said the wrong thing. I've been the wrong thing. Perhaps like the disciples, you wonder what God would have to say to you. What would Jesus Christ say to you? In the resurrection, in Jesus' return, in the words he gives to his disciples that day, he's giving those same words to us. As we gather in this worship service this morning, bringing all those regrets and all that shame from all those years back, that we've got buried in the bottom drawer that we don't even want to think about. Jesus says, peace be with you. It's all forgiven. It's all forgotten. The relationship is just fine. You don't need to worry about a thing. With the resurrection of Christ, with him returning to his disciples, we get a very powerful message. We get the message that forgiveness, reconciliation, and love are still possible even in the face of terrible mistakes, of brutal failure, and of internal shame. Let us pray. Lord, we are so thankful that you loved us enough to go to the cross, that you loved us enough to return from the dead, and that you loved us enough to come and be with us still, even after all of the things we've done. Lord, free us from the lack of forgiveness we have for ourselves. Free us from that internal shame. Let us hear your message anew. Peace be with you. Let us hear the meaning deeply that you love us, that you've forgiven us, and that as far as you're concerned, all we need to do is look your direction, and the relationship will be just fine. We praise your name. Amen.